Good morning. Let us bow our head and pray. Our Heavenly Father, we praise you, we worship you. We thank you for the salvation is found through faith in your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ alone. We pray that your Holy Spirit fills each brother and sister here this morning. And may your words be spoken through me this morning. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Amen. Amen. 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17. All scriptures is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. All scriptures, including both Old Testament and New Testament, is profitable for doctrine, reproof, corrections, and instructions in righteousness. In a conversation with Chi Chan after one Wednesday Bible study, we talked about God's Word, the Bible, is to teach us, believers, what we ought to do and also what we ought not to do. Please open your Bible to Judges 11 with me. I would like to go through this chapter with you this morning and learn from this chapter what we ought to do and what we ought not to do. The Hebrew word for judges is shofetim, which means rulers, deliverers, or saviors. This is a period of time nearly four centuries after the death of Joshua, and the Israelites were defeated time and time again because of their rebellion against God. God would raise up judges to rescue the nation from the oppressions of their enemies and to restore the nation to pure worship. But the nation would sin and fall away from God again. Judges 21:25 summarizes this period of time that in those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. The cycle of sin to salvation would repeat again and again. Jethro is one of the 12 judges in the book of Judges. He is known for delivering Israel from the 18 years of oppression from the Ammonites. But perhaps he is best known for his rash and foolish vow for offering whatever comes out of the doors of his house to God if God gave him the victory over the Ammonites and if he returned to his hometown in peace. I have three divisions to this chapter because it's long chapters. We'll break up it into three divisions and we'll go through the whole passage together. Division 1 is verses 1 to 11. Jethro, a prostitute's son, led the Gileadites against the Ammonites. Division 2, verses 12 to 28. Jethro countered the Ammonites' false claims with historical facts. Division 3, verses 29 to 40, Jethro made a foolish vow with consequence on his daughter. And let's go through the three divisions together. Division 1, verses 1 to 11, a summary is Jethro, a prostitute's son, led the Gileadites against the Ammonites. Let's read the passage from verses 1 to 11. Verse 1, now Jethro the Gileadite was a mighty man of valor, but he was the son of a harlot, and Gilead begot Jethro. Gilead's wife bore sons, and when his wife's sons grew up, they drove Jethro out and said to him, you shall have no inheritance in our father's house. for you are the son of another woman." Then Jephthah fled from his brothers and dwelt in the land of Tob. And worthless men banded together with Jephthah and went out raiding with him. It came to pass after a time that the people of Ammon made war against Israel. And so it was, when the people of Ammon made war against Israel, that the elder of Gilead went to get Jephthah from the land of Tob. Then they said to Jephthah, "Come and be our commander, that we may fight against the people of Ammon." So Jephthah said to the elder of Gilead, "Did you not hate me and expel me from my father's house? Why have you come to me now when you are in distress?" And the elders of Gilead said to Jephthah, "This is why we have turned again to you now, that you may go with us and fight against the people of Ammon and be our head over all the inhabitants of Gilead." So Jephthah said to the elders of Gilead, "If you take me back home to fight against the people of Ammon and the Lord delivers them to me, shall I be your head?" And the elders of Gilead said to Jephthah, "The Lord will be a witness between us if we do not do according to your words." Then Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head and commander over them. And Jephthah spoke all his words before the Lord in Mizpah. Jephthah was one of the Gileadites who lived in the region of Gilead. Gilead was a mountainous area located east of the Jordan River. The tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribes of Manasseh were given this land east of the Jordan River as their possession. We can read that from Numbers 32:33, and I read, "So Moses gave to the children of Gad, to the children of Reuben, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, the kingdom of Sihon, king of Amorites, and the kingdom of Og, king of Bashan, the land with the cities within the borders, the cities of the surrounding country." This region was given to Gad, Reuben, and the half-tribe of Manasseh as their possessions, with the condition that their fighting men would cross over Jordan into the land of Canaan, armed for battle ahead of the troops of the other tribes, which they did. In verse 1, we know that the mother of Jephthah was a prostitute, a harlot, and his father's name was Gilead. Perhaps the name Gilead is a name indicating one of the men in Gilead. We also know that Jephthah was a mighty warrior from verse 1, a mighty man of valor. The other sons of Gilead's wife treated him as an illegitimate son of Gilead because his mother was a prostitute and drove him away so that Jephthah would not share the inheritance from their father. So Jephthah fled from his other brothers to Tob, located northeast of Gilead. There he gathered a band of worthless men or scoundrels who went out on raids with him. Sometimes after the Ammonites waged war against Israel, and the elders of Gilead came to Jephthah in Tob, asking him to be their head to lead them to fight against the Ammonites. In verse 9, I read, "So Jephthah said to the elders of Gilead, 'If you take me back home to fight against the people of Ammon, and the Lord delivers them to me, shall I be your head?' The elders of Gilead affirmed that they would, and God would be the witness between them and Jephthah. And therefore, Jephthah became the commanders over Gileadites. In verse 11b, "And he repeated all his words before the Lord in Mizpah." Mizpah is a Hebrew word which means watchtower. Mizpah is a town where Jephthah assumed the command of the Israelites. The passage tells us that Jephthah was a godly man from verse 9b. "If the Lord delivers them to me," and also from verse 11b, Jephthah spoke all his words before the Lord in Mizpah. He knew that the Lord God would be in control of the outcome of the war with the Ammonites. He repeated all his words before God in Mizpah, trusted in God as the witness between the Gileadites and him. that the Gileadites would submit to him, as they had if God would deliver the Ammonites to the hands of the Israel. God gave Jephthah the natural ability of being a mighty warrior and the skills of a military leader, demonstrated by his success of gathering and leading a band of worthless and unprincipled scoundrels in raids. He was rejected by his own people, his own brothers, but his own people came to him recognizing that it was he had the skills and leadership to lead them against the enemies of Ammonites. Perhaps the Lord God allowed Jephthah to be driven away by his brother so that he could hone in the leadership and military skills in preparation for the war with the Ammonites, as God is in control of all things. Jephthah was a godly man, and he knew and trusted in the Almighty Sovereign God. He knew that if he would win the war against the Ammonites, it would be from God. Jephthah trusted in the one Almighty and Sovereign God for the war against the Ammonites. So the principle here is trust in the Lord God only, who is the Sovereign God in control of all things and all events at all times. We now go to Division 2, verses 12 to 28. The summary is, Jephthah countered the Ammonites' false claims with historical facts. Let's read this passage together. If you have your Bible, read it along with me. Now Jephthah sent messengers to the king of the people of Ammon, saying, "What do you have against me that you have come to fight against me in my land?" And the king of the people of Ammon answered the messengers of Jephthah, "Because Israel took away my land when they came out of Egypt from the Arnon as far as Jabbok, and to the Jordan, and now therefore restore these lands peaceably." So Jephthah again sent messengers to the king of the people of Ammon and said to him, "Thus says Jephthah, Israel did not take away the land of Moab, nor the land of the people of Ammon. For when Israel came up from Egypt, they walked through the wilderness as far as the Red Sea and came to Kadesh. Then Israel sent messengers to the king of Edom, saying, 'Please let me pass through your land.' But the king of Edom would not heed. And in like manner they sent to the king of Moab, but he would not consent. So Israel remained in Kadesh, and they went along through the wilderness and bypassed the land of Edom and the land of Moab, came to the east side of the land of Moab, and encamped on the other side of Arnon. But they did not enter the border of Moab, for the Arnon was the border of Moab. Then Israel sent messengers to Sihon, king of Amorites, king of Heshbon, and Israel said to him, 'Please let us pass through your land into our place.' But Sihon did not trust Israel to pass through his territory. So Sihon gathered all his people all together and camped in Jahaz and fought against Israel. And the Lord God of Israel delivered Sihon and all his people in the land of Israel, into the hand of Israel, and they defeated them. Thus Israel gained possessions of all the land of Amorites, who inhabited that country. They took possession of all the territory of the Amorites, from the Arnon to Jabbok, and from wilderness to the Jordan. And now the Lord God of Israel has dispossessed the Amorites from before his people Israel. Should you then possess it? Will you not possess whatever Chemosh your God gives you to possess? So whatever the Lord our God takes possessions of before us, we will possess. And now are you any better than Balak, the son of Zippor, the king of Moab? Did he ever strive against Israel? Did he ever fight against them? While Israel dwelt in Heshbon, and its villages in Aurora and its villages and in all the cities along the banks of Arnon for 300 years. Why did you not recover them within that time? Therefore, I have not sinned against you, but you wronged me by fighting against me. May the Lord, the judge, render judgment this day between the children of Israel and the children of Ammon. However, the king of the people, Ammon, did not heed the words which Jephthah sent him. Now Jephthah was made leader of the Gileadites. He sent messengers to ask the king of Ammon in verse 12, "What do you have against me that you have come to fight against me in my land?" And here he clearly stated that it was the Ammonites who started this conflict. It was the Ammonites who were invading the land of Israel without being provoked. In verse 13, the king of Ammon sent messengers to Jephthah, accusing Israel of taking the land from the people Ammon. When Israel came out of Egypt and asking Israel to give and restore this land back to Ammon peaceably, the king of Ammon made it sound like Israel took their lands in the first place, which is not true. Jephthah sent messengers back to the king of Ammon, denying that Israel ever took away their land, the land of Moab and the land of the people Ammon. And we can read that in verse 15. I read it again. Thus says Jephthah, Israel did not take away the land of Moab, nor the land of the people of Ammon. For his historical backgrounds, the people Moab and Ammon were descendants of Lot, the nephew of Abraham. And we can read this in Genesis 19, 30-38. In verses 16 to 24, Jephthah recounted the historical fact that Israel came out of Egypt. They asked the king of Edom and the king of Moab to let them pass through their lands, but they would not let them pass through. So they bypassed the land of Edom and the land of Moab, and they encamped on the other side of Arnon. Then Israel sent messengers to Sihon, king of Amorites. Amorites, not Ammonites. And they sounded similar, but they are not the same. And asked the Amorites for permission to pass through their lands. But Sihon, the king of Amorites, did not trust Israel to pass through their territory and gathered his people and camped in Jahaz to fight against Israel. God delivered Sihon and his people into the hands of Israel. And Israel defeated Amorites and took possession of land of the Amorites, from Arnon to Jabbok, and from the wilderness to Jordan. And these are the natural boundaries of the land of Amorites. We can refer to Numbers 21:24. It was Sihon, king of the Amorites, who gathered his people to fight against the Israelites first. And God gave Amorites into the hands of the Israelites. Jephthah then reasoned that since then Israel had dwelt in the land for 300 years that God gave to Israel to possess, and therefore the king of Ammon had no right to pick the fight against Israel, had no right to claim the land. The king of Ammonites twisted the fact that Israelites took the land from the Ammonites, which is not true. Even though Jephthah recounted the historical fact that Israel had never taken the lands from the Ammonites, the king of the Ammonites paid no attention to him, and he bent on twisting the truth to justify his action of invading the land of Israel. Isn't it the case today? People would spin the truth and make excuses to justify their actions or sins. Therefore, the principle of this division is, it is important to know the truth, to discern lies from truth. Division 3, verses 29-40. Jephthah made a foolish vow with consequence on his daughter. We'll read this through. Verse 29. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah, and he passed through Gilead and Manasseh, and passed through Mizpah of Gilead, and from Mizpah of Gilead he advanced toward the people of Ammon. And Jephthah made a vow to the Lord and said, if you will indeed deliver the people of Ammon into my hands, then it will be that whatever comes out of the doors of my house to meet you, when I return in peace from the people of Ammon, shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up as a burnt offering. So Jephthah advanced towards the people of Ammon to fight against them, and the Lord delivered them into his hands, and he defeated them from Aorah as far as Minas, 20 cities, and to Abel Karamin, which with a very great slaughter, thus the people of Ammon were subdued before the children of Israel. When Jephthah came to his house at Mizpah, there was his daughter coming out to meet him with timbrels and dancing, and she was his only child. Besides her, he had neither son nor daughter. And it came to pass, when he saw her, that he tore his clothes and said, alas, my daughter, you have brought me very low. You are among those who trouble me, for I have given my word to the Lord, and I cannot go back on it. So she said to him, my father, if you have given your word to the Lord, do to me according to what has gone out of your mouth, because the Lord has avenged you of your enemies, the people of Ammon. Then she said to the father, her father, let this thing be done for me, let me alone for 2 months, that I may go and wander on the mountains and bewail my virginity, my friends and I. So he said, go. And he sent her away for 2 months. And she went with her friends and bewailed her virginity on the mountains. And it was so at the end of 2 months that she returned to her father, and he carried out his vow with her, which he had vowed. She knew no man. And it became a custom in Israel that the daughters of Israel went 4 days each year to lament the daughter of Jephthah, the Gileadites. Jephthah was a godly man, filled with the Spirit of God, and God delivered the Ammonites into his hands. The question naturally came to mind is, why would Jephthah, who was filled with God's Spirit, make such a rash and foolish vow in verse 30 and 31? When Jephthah returned to his house in Mizpah, his only daughter was the one who first came out of the house with timbrels and dancing to greet her father for his great victory over the Ammonites. When Jephthah saw that it was his daughter, his only child, who came out, he was in great distress and tore his clothes because of his vow made to God. His daughter said to her father in verse 37, Dad, let this thing be done for me. Let me alone for 2 months, that I may go and wander on the mountains and bewail my virginity, my friends and I. Jephthah let her daughter go away with her friends, wandering on the mountains for 2 months. And at the end of 2 months, she returned to her father. And Jephthah carried out his vow with her, which he had vowed. Verse 39 says that she knew no man. That it became a custom in Israel that the daughters of Israel went 4 days each year to lament the daughter of Jephthah, the Gileadites. There are two different views concerning Jephthah's vow. One view was that Jephthah offered his daughter as a human sacrifice, as a burnt offering. Another view was that he dedicated his daughter as a light of celibacy to serve the Lord. To support this second view, Dr. David Reeds of Growing Christian Ministries suggested that Jephthah, being filled with God's Spirit, it would be unreasonable that he would knowingly make a vow involving a human sacrifice, because the Mosaic law forbade human sacrifice. I actually lean towards the first view, because the reaction of Jephthah that he tore his clothes when he saw his only daughter coming out of the house to greet him. His actions of tearing his clothes, showing great distress, indicating that he vowed to sacrifice whatever comes out of the doors to the Lord as a burnt offering. Was Jephthah thinking that an animal would come out of his house? Jephthah vowed in verse 31 refers to whatever comes out of the door of my house, not whoever comes out of the door of my house. Whatever the view we may take, this was a rash and foolish vow made by Jephthah. David wrote in Psalm 51, 16 to 17, "For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O Lord, you will not despise." Sometimes God will still give victory in spite of grave human mistakes. For example, in the case of Samson, Jephthah made a rash and foolish vow, but God still gave victory to Jephthah and the Israelites, not because of the vow made by Jephthah, but because it is the will of God. And this also serves as a teaching to us not to make a rash or foolish vow. So the principle here is, do not make a vow lightly, as a vow is a serious promise made to God. I would like now to look at selected New Testament passages supporting the principle of the three divisions. Division one, I repeat the summary, is Jephthah, a prostitute son, led the Gileadites against the Ammonites. The principle is trust in the Lord God only, who is the sovereign God in control of all things and events. Just in summary, is God gave Jephthah the ability of being a mighty warrior and the gift of a military leader, demonstrated by his success of gathering and leading a band of worthless and unprincipled scoundrels for a successful raid. Jephthah was rejected by his own people, his own brothers, but his own people came to him recognizing that he was the only one with the ability to lead them to fight against the Ammonites. Jephthah knew and trusted in the Almighty God, who is the sovereign God in control of all things, in control of the outcome of the war against the Ammonites. The New Testament passages that I come up with would be Colossians 1:16. "For by him all things were created," and this is him would be our Lord Jesus Christ, "that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities, all things were created through him and for him." Colossians 1:17. "And he is before all things, and in him all things consist." Hebrews 1:3. "Who being the brightness of his glory is God the Father's glory, and God the Son, Jesus Christ, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high." Matthew 19:26b. "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Acts 5:39. "But if it is of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest you ever be found to fight against God." James 4:14-15. "Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this and that." Our one true sovereign God is the creator, who knows all things, sustains all things, and is in control of all things. We need to trust in God's perfect will and submit our personal human will to his perfect will, as God's understanding is higher, surpasses our human understanding. Trust in the Lord God in all things, in all situations, as our God, the Father, God, the Son, is the sovereign God in control of all things and all situations at all times. Division 2 recap is Jephthah countered the Ammonites' false claims with historical facts. Principle is important to know the truth, to discern lies from truth. We know in the world today many twisted the truth to justify their actions for unlawful gains and sins. And many who are simple are fooled. Proverbs 14:15. The simple believes every word, but the prudent considers well his steps. We are constantly bombarded with rampant misinformation and lies, which sounds like real, especially with the help of AI, artificial intelligence. Scams which are basically dishonest schemes to gain money or possessions from someone else fraudulently are common today. I'm sure that you have received many scam emails and phone calls. I do not answer phone calls if I don't recognize the phone number, or I do not know the caller ID. But I have to admit, my wife and I fell for a scam, because we did not take the time to verify if the request was genuine or true. So watch out. We need to know the truth and take time to verify the truth in order to discern lies from truth. The Bible, God's words to us, is the truth. As God does not lie and cannot lie, references Titus 1:2 and Hebrews 6:18. We need to study God's word so that we know the truth from lies and to live a life guided by the light and the truth. And these are some of the verses I come up with. John 8:31b-32. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 14:6. Jesus said to him, that is Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 17:17. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word, i.e. God's words, is truth. 1 Peter 1:25. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. 1 Timothy 3:16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in glory. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and life. Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation, eternal life to be with God. He came to this world born as a human being, as one of us in flesh, born of a virgin, conceived by the Holy Spirit to reveal the truth and God the Father to us, to mankind. And he came to offer hope, peace, and life to all mankind. God's words, the Bible, is the truth. If you have not trusted in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, please speak to me or one of the other elders about this truth. It is important to know the truth so that we do not fall for lies. Division 3, just a recap, verses 29 to 40. Jephthah made a foolish vow with consequence on his daughter. The principle is to not make a vow lightly, as a vow is a serious promise made to God. Examples of important vows made today are: a U.S. president is sworn into office by placing his hands on the Bible to swear and affirm to the best of his ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. And a witness in a courtroom would take an oath to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. A Christian wedding vow is a sacred promise to honor God and a lifelong commitment to each other in a marriage. The following passages came to mind, and I'd like to share them with you. Matthew 5:33. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, "You shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord." James 5:12. "But above all, my brethren, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth, or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes, and let your no be no, lest you fall into judgment." Let us not make any vows lightly, and not make any rash and foolish vows, as a vow is sacred, a serious promise to God. So in summary, the passage of Judges 11 teaches us today that we ought to trust in the Lord God, who is in control of all things, or all events at all times. Learn and know the truth in order to discern lies from the truth. And God's word, the Bible, is the truth. And we ought not to make a vow lightly, as a vow is a sacred, serious promise made to God. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us your word to teach us, to guide us, and to correct us. Thank you for the lessons learned from Judges 11 today. Pray that we will trust in your perfect will at all times, and align our own will with your perfect will. Pray that we will not and do not make a vow lightly, and not make any foolish and rash vows. Thank you that our Lord Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Pray that if there's anyone here this morning who does not know this truth, may your Holy Spirit touch their hearts, that they may repent and trust in our Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. May the love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit to be with us all. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.